Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 27. John 18, 1 through 27. This is God's Word. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas, the traitor, was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers, with its commander and the Jewish officials, arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" the girl at the door asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas the high priest. As Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him. "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus had warned Peter when Peter had bravely said, "Even if everybody else forsakes you, I never will. I won't fail you. You can count on me." Jesus had warned him, "Satan has wanted to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you." But Jesus also warned him, "Before the rooster crows, before the morning comes, before the dawn, you will deny me 3 times. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Please notice that phrase, verse 4. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" Peter failed. Peter's name was Simon. But Jesus renamed him Peter, which means rock. Jesus saw in him what not everybody else saw, including Peter. Jesus saw what Peter would become. Jesus saw what he would make of Peter. But Peter had a lot in common with sand. He could be shifty. He was not necessarily rock solid all the time. And this is his most famous failure. Because Jesus had told them what would take place. Repeatedly, Jesus had said to them that he was going to be betrayed, arrested, mistreated, and killed. In fact, he spoke to them about the fact that he would be lifted up. He was going to die on the cross. Jesus knew what was coming, and he told the disciples what was coming. But somehow they still didn't know what was coming. But every word of God is fulfilled. You need to know that. We study God's word because it is true. As we learn what God says, we not only know what has happened in the past, we understand what's happening now, and we have the essentials of what's going to happen in the future. We don't know all the details, but we definitely know enough to know how we're supposed to live. We are supposed to live in light of God's love for us, God's trustworthiness, and God's guarantee for the future of those who love him. And, by the way, God's guarantee for the future of those who don't love him. God's word is true, and everything always works out exactly the way God says.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me.
Jesus knew everything, all that was going to happen to him. Now, do you see the courage of Jesus? When these guys come with torches and with weapons, Jesus didn't run the other way and say, "You guys hold them off. Okay, distract them. I'm going to hide." Jesus went out to them, and Jesus said Who is it you want? When Jesus asked that, they said, Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, I am he. I'm the one you're looking for. Jesus' enemies were looking for him for all the wrong reasons. But one of the things you and I need to understand is that even people who don't love Jesus and don't know what they're looking for are looking for Jesus. He's the only one that can satisfy that inner longing that everybody has. And so they look over here, they look over here, they look over here, and they're never going to find the peace, the joy, the purpose, the forgiveness, the grace that only comes through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So Jesus goes out and he says, I am he. And when he said that, they drew back and fell to the ground. No commentary in here about how or why. But for some reason, in that moment, they were overcome. I've seen people who respond, not knowing why, but they respond to the presence of the Lord. They don't understand what it is. They don't understand what's going on. But there's something inside that says, woe is me. I am undone. When you get in the presence of God, you're not prideful. When you get in the presence of God, all of a sudden, stuff that seemed really important doesn't seem important anymore. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus confronted and again said, who is it you want? And again they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said, I told you that I am he. If you're looking for me, then let these men go. Jesus is putting himself in harm's way in order to protect his followers. That is exactly what he would do on the cross. He took the punishment, the suffering, the guilt, the death, the punishment that we deserve. He put himself between that which would destroy and us. So, Peter, at this moment, tries to step up, do the right thing. He had told Jesus he wouldn't betray him, wouldn't fail him, wouldn't run. So he pulls out his sword and he strikes a blow at the servant of the high priest. Now, Peter was not a swordsman. I can't imagine that his goal was to amputate an ear. Okay? I think he probably wanted to remove a head, but he was better with fish than with people. And so he managed to strike the guy's head that way, and it lopped off the guy's ear. You read the other gospel accounts, and you find out that Jesus not only told him to put his sword away, but Jesus also put the ear back on and healed the fellow. And they still arrested him. They've already fallen to the ground in awe of him. They certainly know his reputation, the miracles that he's done, the teaching that he's taught. When previously servants of the high priest were sent to arrest Jesus, they came back and they said, nobody ever spoke like this man. But they're carrying out orders. They're doing the wrong thing because that's what somebody in authority told them to do. I will remind you, no one has authority to command what God forbids or to forbid what God commands. Do not ever think that even though God says it's wrong, somebody who's your boss told you that you must, so you must. No, you mustn't. You answer to God. Well, if I don't do what they say, I'm going to suffer for it. Yeah, yeah, that's very probable. But any suffering that you experience for doing the right thing is a blessing, because you are going to receive reward from the Lord Almighty. So they took Jesus, they bound him, and they took him to the father-in-law of the high priest. These guys apparently were kind of alternating years of service. And the father-in-law, obviously the older man, had more experience and probably was even more of a driving force in terms of wanting to get Jesus arrested and have him killed. So they brought him to Annas first. And when they brought him there, they begin to question him. Meanwhile, Peter is outside. And we have an abbreviated account here of what he said and did. The accounts do not conflict if you look at them carefully, but even as in the garden where Judas kissed Jesus, and that was his signal that Jesus is the one, John doesn't mention that. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just is a different perspective on the story. The details do not conflict. They complement each other. And so what happened here is we get a glimpse of Peter. He is followed along with John. John simply refers to himself as another disciple who was known to the high priest. But it becomes clear as you read the rest of the gospel, he's talking about himself. He and Peter were close. They'd be the two who would go to the tomb after the women said that Jesus' body wasn't there. So John and Peter go, and John has confidence to go to the high priest's house because he knows the high priest family. So Peter goes with young John. And when they get there, John's able to go inside. Peter has to wait outside, then comes and tells the servant at the door, you can let him in. And she does. But even at that point, he's asked, are you one of his followers? No, I'm not. No, not me. More than one person is going to ask him, though that girl is going to ask him twice. But they asked him. NIV just says he was asked. Literally, it says they asked him. It's plural. People are standing around a fire and they're talking and they're asking him, are you with the guy on trial? Are you with Jesus? And Peter's saying no. John leaves out the fact that Peter cursed about it, took an oath that he was not one of Jesus' followers. Peter failed. Peter failed. And that's why, if you read the rest of the Bible, there's no mention of Peter. Right? No. Peter still is Peter. He's the rock. He's the guy that Jesus is going to use as a central character in the remainder of the story in the Gospels. Peter is a main guy that Jesus wanted to meet with, and Jesus, in John's Gospel, is going to meet with him and reinstate him, even though it's going to make Peter very uncomfortable, because Jesus is going to say to him, spoiler alert, after he's raised from the dead, oops, I gave away what's happening. After Jesus is risen, he's going to meet with the disciples, and he says to Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus says, do you love me? Yes, I love you. And Jesus asked him a third time, do you really love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time. Why did he ask him a third time? Because three times Peter had denied him. And now Jesus gives him the opportunity three times to affirm his love for Jesus. Jesus is going to reinstate Peter. Jesus is going to use him. He's going to be a central character in the book of Acts. He writes two of the letters that are in the Bible, 1 and 2 Peter. And the Gospel of Mark is believed to be essentially Mark's recording of Peter's telling the gospel. How could God use someone like that? Well, the answer is, that's all there is. That's what we're like. If you're sitting there saying, I hope nobody finds out about me, God already knows. And he's the only one who has the authority to condemn, and he's chosen not to. Instead, he sent his son to save you. So does that mean sin's no big deal? No, it means that sin can be forgiven. All our failures will not prevent us from salvation. The one thing that'll keep you from receiving eternal life is not trusting Jesus. Well, why should you trust Jesus? Because Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Whether he's being confronted by people with weapons or whether he's simply being dismissed by would-be intellectuals who haven't got a clue about truth. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Can Jesus save a wretch like me? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. But you don't want to just be forgiven if you want to be saved. To be saved is much more than forgiveness. It's new life. It's new life, where he comes and cleanses us and comes to live his life through us. When that happens, guess who's in charge? He is. Do you want him to be in charge of your life, or do you think you're doing a pretty good job? Do you want him to be in charge of your life? Or are you thinking, well, you know, there's some stuff I want to do that I know he doesn't want me to do, so I don't want to turn over the reins yet. Trust him. He knows. I mean, so many times I'm disappointed that things don't go the way I planned. And I've learned over the years when that happens to say, thank you, Lord. Because the reason it didn't go the way I planned is because God has a better plan. Always. God knows best. God is always working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Never a situation where Jesus failed. No. Never will be. Jesus Christ is Lord. Trust him. Surrender to him while you have the opportunity to do it in peace. Surrender your life to Jesus. He loves you, and he knows what's best. He knows what's best. I see this much, and I think, okay, given all this information, I think this would be the best thing that could happen. God doesn't just see this much. God knows everything. God knows everything. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Who are you going to trust to run your life? Are you going to trust Jesus? I pray that you will.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number,
866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.